Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode.
Abzi to three. Sexton works on Irving, trying to get loose. He'll fire. He knocks it down. Osmond steps into a long-distance jumper. Allen to the bucket. He crushes it home.
Off to Garland for three. He knocks it down.
Drummond toward Valanciunas. Finds a cutter and Okoro, and Okoro thunders it home.
By Kyrie. Sexton got it back. Nance for the tie. He knocks it down. Love hands it off the Sexton feed. By seven.
And Cleveland, this is for you.
Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs, joined as always by my partner in crime, it's Evan Damrell. Evan, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Not a whole lot. For those of you listening and following the timeline, my voice is getting worse. Allergies really stink. Just spring is here, thankfully. I'm glad Punxsutawney Phil is a liar. I could be wrong. Next week could be a frozen hellscape, but for now, I'll take it. How are you?
Doing good. You know, I'm wearing a t-shirt. You know, it's a little warmer
Same.
Outside.
It's great.
For my Ohio standards in March, it's like nice, and I'm, you know, fingers crossed that it stays that way. On today's show, we're going to do, this is going to be the first day of a two-part show, so if you happen to be watching on WKYC, please follow along to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, and go for the second part of this. We're going to be answering questions. Evan came up with three. Those are the three we're going to talk about today, and then my three questions we're going to talk through on tomorrow's show. The Cavs are back in action after the All-Star break on Friday against Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. If you want some insight into New Orleans, former Cavs GM David Griffin and the job he's doing in New Orleans and more, check out yesterday's episode where I talked to Jake Madison from Locked On Pelicans for all of that. There's also a bunch of other great stuff back in the feed if you're trying to get a little refresher and maybe missed an episode or two. Evan, though, we have to start with the passing of legendary Cavs broadcaster Joe Tate. He died on Wednesday at the age of 83. Joe was, I think, an icon by all standards for me. When I think of like voices of teams in Cleveland and, you know, elsewhere, it's Tom Hamilton on the Cleveland baseball team. It's Joe on the Cavs. It's the guy whose name I can't remember on the Ohio State broadcast, but I can like picture his tone on WTM 1100, like etched into my brain. And then Jim Donovan on the Browns. Like those are the voices I grew up on. And Joe is a legend. And he died, and there was the great Terry Pluto piece that kind of, I think, told people what was going on with him. He talked about it on the Kent State NPR affiliate, I think, on this week as well. But it's very sad that Joe is gone at the age of 83.
It is very sad, but he lived a very full life. There's a lot of people who are tweeting out their love and respect, so Twitter just being the main fulcrum of this, including LeBron James and Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, who used to play for the Cavaliers. Joe was with the Cavs for 39 years. He's an iconic voice. I think the coolest thing about Joe Tate was when the Guns bought the team. He specifically worked with Joe, and Joe made a concerted effort to make sure that he described every single detail in a radio broadcast because Gordon Gunn was blind, and so he wasn't able to watch the game, so he relied on Joe's broadcast, and I still think that's such a cool thing and has really set the standard for what a Cleveland Cavaliers broadcast is. And I think Joe Tate, and it's actually interesting, Beth McLeod shared as well that Fred McLeod was Joe's intern back in the day, which is hard to think, but we lost Fred not too long ago as well. And it's just such horrible news that the Cleveland Cavaliers family has lost two iconic voices associated with them, but they'll never be forgotten. And I think that's the special thing about memories, and especially being sports broadcasters, is they are the bridge that connects you with the fans as well. And fans can reminisce on so many iconic plays that Joe has called.
Yeah, I said this already, but again, I think he's the voice for a lot of people. I think he understood South. He's also, it's just interesting to think about him as a figure post his retirement. You know, obviously John Michael takes over for him, and then John, you know, succeeds Fred, but, you know, John did the radio for a long time, and then Tim Alcorn took over for John when John got bumped up to Fox Sports, and Tim Alcorn was a long time, you know, disciple of Joe Tate. He talked about how Joe really vouched for him in a lot of ways for a long time. There's also a really great Sam Allard piece from 2014, I think, that was originally published in Cleveland Scene. I'll put it in the show notes if anyone is listening on a podcast platform. But it's basically like Joe, for those that don't know, stopped watching the NBA and the Cavs after he retired. And, you know, there's not really a clear reason why. And it's just a really interesting piece. I'm actually trying to book Sam because he's a smart guy. And that piece is really good. So Evan, this is actually breaking news to Evan. I didn't tell him this yet, but that piece is really good. I highly recommend it. And it's just interesting to wonder how that all sort of broke down. But it says it all. All the people, you know, more so than organization or anything, Brian Windhorst, Steve Kerr, LeBron James, all these people showing their respect to him and the people that knew him very well. The Cavs did post a tweet with some of his famous catchphrases. If you're a younger fan or just maybe were a TV person over the radio, which is, you know, I think for some people that's definitely the case, I would highly recommend checking that out. But Evan, let's get into our questions here. Here's the three today for people. Do we think the Cavs can make the play-in tournament? How much do you think Colin Sexton is actually worth in a contract extension? He'll be eligible for that next summer. And then what will we get from Kevin Love this year? We're going to start with the play-in tournament. Evan, Cavs don't have, according to any of the odds, it's a very low chance, I think around 3, 4, 5% in that range from 538, for example, that they are a playoff team, that they can make the play-in tournament.
It's 1% from 538.
Oh, okay, it's
0.2.
Okay.
It's 0.2% from Basketball Reference. It's pretty grim for the Cavs playoff chances, but that's not play-in tournament stuff, though. But either way, continue.
So, what do you think of this? I mean, do you think there's an actual chance? I sense from seeing people on Twitter and talking to people that I think people want them to make a push, and I think there's some expectations of a push. Where are you at on this?
I think the Cavs will make a push. I have a piece coming out Friday for Forbes where I kind of preview the second half of the season for Cleveland, and I also kind of explain why they aren't going to make the play-in team. And I spoke with an Eastern Conference scout who said that they're a young, scrappy team who tries their hardest every night under JB Bickerstaff. That's what you want. But they're just going to get out-talented in the second half. Like, in March, they play the Lakers, they play the Jazz, they play the Suns in April, they play Philadelphia a few times, they play Sacramento, who's suddenly a good team, they play Oklahoma City, who gobsmacked the Cavs last time they played them. Like, it's going to be a rough outing early into this stretch. And then, yes, there's some bad teams like Detroit or Washington peppered in between towards the end, but the Cavs have a pretty brutal stretch, and it's just the nature of the beast with the coronavirus and everything going on is where the NBA has to plan schedules accordingly based on where teams are located for their road trips, so they try to bunch up as much as possible. So Cleveland's going on another West Coast road trip, and they play the Lakers again, and that's not going to be a fun time for the Cavs, and I think that's a good thing, though, because the scout went on to say, like, they're in a good place. I kind of had to trim the fat from what he was sharing, but, like, they're in a good place structurally and organizationally, but maybe not making the play-in tournament or the playoffs is also a blessing in disguise for them, because it also allows them to have a better draft pick. And, Chris, you and I are big proponents of the fact that the Cavs have a assembly of good young pieces, but they don't necessarily have the guy yet, and there's a really good chance they can get the guy in this upcoming draft class, and I think having a better stab at that versus trying to make the play-in tournament or sneak in as the eighth seed and get crushed by Philadelphia in the first round just doesn't seem worth it to me.
Yeah, or if Brooklyn's our one seed. So right now, I'll just say the standings-wise, the Cavs should absolutely act like they're in it. So they are in 13th place in the East right now. They are 10 games back of first place, and with how jumbled the East is, they are only 2.5 games back of Indiana for the 10th spot. They should be trying for this. I think if you ask the players, they're going to try for this. But I don't think there's a really compelling case that this team is actually good. So right now, they are 29th in net rating. They're getting outscored on average by 7.5 points per 100 possessions. The only team worse is the Minnesota Timberwolves, who fired their coach, hired a coach midseason from another organization, haven't had D'Angelo Russell, didn't have Cat for a while. Like, there's a lot going wrong there. And then they're a full one, over a point behind the Magic, who are 28th and have also been decimated by injuries. The Cavs are 28th in offense. They are 20th in defense. Over the last 2 weeks, they've been pretty good on defense. They are third in defense over the last 2 weeks, but there's been stretches where they're up here, they're really good, and then there's stretches where they're really bad, and it's very inconsistent, and I don't really have a gauge on how good the defense really is right now. for the year, according to Cleaning the Glass, the Cavs are first in the league in the number of wins they have versus what they should have based on their net rating. They have four more wins than expected based on net rating. There's just no way, I think, that they can sustain winning even at this level the rest of the season. I think, you know, the 10-game losing streak was probably going to go down as the low point of the season because it felt so hopeless a lot of the time. I just don't see how this team ultimately remains competitive and close. I think they're going to settle in as one of the 2 to 3 worst teams in the East, one of the worst teams in the league. And as you said, the draft is the long-term player. Getting a shot at Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, you know, Jonathan Kuminga, whomever you like, whoever they think they get in that top five is a way to more sustainably build here. Especially, you know, in a world where Kevin Porter Jr. is no longer on this team and part of the plans, I think you really need another upside swing in as part of your young core here. They're going to be sellers at the trade deadline. I have no expectation based on just logic and based on poking around a little bit that this team is going to try and buy at the deadline. This is a team that's going to have a lot more, you know, lessons and not wins, if you want to frame it in that way. I've tried a lot. I cannot find a reasonably compelling case that the Cavs, like, have a shot to actually make a real run at this. I think they're going to hang in for a while because they're frisky. And I think, like, they're just a team that sometimes can just eke out stuff some way because of the way they're playing. But I don't think this team is really all that good. I think they're still, like, a year or 2 years away from hitting a level where we can, like, qualify them as like, an actual, like, solid, good NBA team.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I think Cleveland fans just need to see the forest for the trees at this point when it comes to the Cavs. Like, I understand that they have Kevin Love and Colin Sexton's playing at an all-star level. Granted, he didn't get in the all-star game, but he was considered for it. And I know Andre Drummond is at home and Jared Allen is better, an immediate upgrade. But like Chris said, there's going to be a bit of a step back as well because the Cavs will probably be sellers at the deadline. And by that, we mean they're going to be selling draft picks and other things like that and players on expiring contracts, i.e. Andre Drummond. Like, Chris, let me float this by you. How would you feel if the Cavs traded Andre for LaMarcus Aldridge and maybe another contract to make it work, or just a second round pick just to make that work as well, and then they buy out LMA? Like, do you think that's a good deal for Cleveland? I do.
If they get a pick back,
because I don't think the playoffs is a priority. Yeah, if it's a second round pick is the goal with Andre Drummond. I know Cavs fans think they can possibly get a first for him because he's such a mammoth expiring, but because he's such a mammoth expiring, it's hard to make the money work, and teams that may be interested in him don't really want to give up their draft cachet or meaningful young players for him.
Yeah, if the Spurs called you tomorrow and said, hey, we'll do LMA and a pick for Drummond, I would do it. I'm skeptical that this happens just because, like, Drummond doesn't scream like San Antonio Spurs to me, and they have Jakob Poeltl, who might be better and is on, like, a much cheaper contract. Like, you don't, like, it's just not, like, something that strikes me as an obvious move. The Otto Porter Drummond swap, like, in my head just makes much more, something like that just makes much more sense to me. But Evan, to wrap this up here, we are both no's. We are not haters. I think we're just realistic about this.
Maybe a little cynical, too.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Evan, it's time for us to name the Ultra Player of the Week. Every week, we're identifying one player on the Cleveland Cavaliers who made that big play, got you on your feet, cheering for your team, ultimately sparking these three key emotions: joy, happiness, and enjoyment. Evan, who's our Ultra Player of the Week? I think I have a pick. Who's your pick?
My pick is Colin Sexton because it was All-Star Week and the Cavs been off, and I think Colin got us some All-Star consideration, and I don't know if we've given him one of these yet. I think he deserves a shout-out for having a spectacular year in general, and he's just been really fun. Who's your pick?
It's Colin Sexton. He's been absolutely dynamic this season. He's had some really great performances even leading up to the All-Star break as the Cavs rattled off a couple wins to snap out of that losing streak. And look, he's been awesome. And you know what else is awesome? Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, how could you not enjoy it? Joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. And are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? If you're Colin Sexton, you win. Because I think you win because you're happy. And enjoyment for him is got probably a big part of it. That and just, you know, being pretty freaking good at basketball. So then, Colin Sexton, the Ultra, Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. And Evan, we're also brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They're real-time updated odds and props, almost anything you can imagine. Evan's going to be hitting those props hard for Bachelor in Paradise. Mm-hmm. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using promo code LOCKEDON. Go to the website or your mobile device to go to BetOnline. And again, promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts.
So if you're interested in betting and you want to bet on the Cavs, it doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts, probably the same place you get Locked On Cavs.
Let's move on to the next question here. That is going to be... Let's go with Kevin Love next, because I feel like this is another one where my...
Speaking of cynicism.
Well, you know, the vibes around Kevin, I think, are better than they were
They're good. The vibes around Kevin are good. The vibes around his health and longevity are so bad.
So this is the thing. So, like, I had someone ask me, like a friend, I should say, to couch this. Like, this wasn't just like a conversation I was having with like a league person. They're like, could Kevin get bought out like Blake? And I'm like, no. Like, he would have to give up an astronomical amount of money for them to do that. He's got multiple years left on the contract. It's not a player option like Blake had going into next summer, where he was probably maybe going to opt out anyway to get out of that situation. It's not really built like that here in Cleveland. So, as Evan wrote in our notes, and this is, I think, a really good point, he's played two games this season. It's really like 1.25 because he got hurt like very early in the Philly game after playing 50 minutes against Detroit. He's only played 79 since LeBron left before the 18-19 season. You know, I think he had like a little flare, but with the calf, he's maybe back already if the Cavs were a little further along. We have not heard from him. Like, we have not talked to him in a Zoom setting since he got hurt. He's appeared on a couple podcasts, the Road Tripping podcast and the JJ Redick show, which I don't think it's his name, but whatever, no free ads. He talked about that on how he wants to play competitive basketball and he wants to play, you know, try to win games. Like, I that's something he clearly wants. I think if he comes back, he's going to help. It's just a matter of how healthy he is. It's a matter of how much you can go from there. If the Cavs are aggressive in, like, you know, a name that gets floated out there in the market is Lauri Markkanen. Like, if the Cavs are saying, okay, we're going to identify Lauri as someone we want to get in now, a la Jared Allen, and look to resign, like, you probably want to clear out Kevin in that sense. It's really tricky to manage this, and it's also unfortunate that I personally think Kevin Love would really help the team. I don't think he gets them to a point where, like, I think the offense is good and they can, like, make a run at the play-in tournament, but he's going to make them more competent. Like, he'll help Isaac Okoro. He'll help the young guard. He'll help Jared Allen in some extent. Like, he would really help this team. And it's really tricky to even also know what you're really going to get from him to specifically answer the question. Because, like, if he comes back, like, how much is he going to play? Is he going to, like, will he get hurt again? Like, will, you know, if the season goes off the rails with a month to go and he's a little nicked up for whatever reason, like, does he just sit? Like, there's just a lot that I feel like is very unknown with this.
Yeah, there are a lot of unknowns with Kevin, and it really gives me pause sometimes. And I think, like, especially when you look at the numbers, he only played two games, like you said, a game and a quarter, but double overtime against Detroit. So the minutes balance out to about two games played, but only 79 since LeBron has left town, and that's when he signed that extension as well. I have a good feeling the Cavs probably regret that extension in retrospect. I think it was a move of passion because LeBron left town and the Cavs are trying to say, hey, we're going to remain competitive.
You mean trotting him out in the new arena with the construction workers and being like, we're committed to winning for you? Like, the whole thing was weird. Like, we've said this a lot. Kevin, secure your bag. Just take the money. It's not on you to worry about the team. Like, just secure as much money as you can. That's what you're here for.
No, absolutely, and I have this in the notes, actually. Like, how big of an impact will he bring to the offense realistically, and will he impact Cleveland's shot profile? I think Kobe Altman kind of put this best when he said in the few times he spoke with the media that this is an evaluation period for him, his staff, and the coaching staff as well, for when it comes to the younger players and the older players too, with, like, who is going to be a long-term fit. Because I think after the draft and maybe even free agency next year, when the Cavs have to make some tough moves when it comes to Sexton's extension and retaining Jared Allen and the draft as well, like I just said. That's when we really start to evaluate Kobe Altman's tenure as general manager of the Cavs, I think, because he was given an untenable situation with the Kyrie Irving trade and everything else after that. But I think this is going to be an evaluation for Kevin. You can showcase, one, that he can stay healthy. He won't play back-to-backs. I know that for a fact. I've heard it from a few people. He won't play back-to-backs for Cleveland. I think him playing that back-to-back against Philadelphia, or Philadelphia after playing Detroit, was a huge mistake for them as well, because we wouldn't be where we are right now with Kevin, I think, if that wasn't the case. But you need to show he can be healthy. I think you can show, like you said, he's not going to drag this Cavs team to the play-in tournament. He's not that type of player anymore, but I think he really needs to showcase that he is a complimentary star that could be a third fiddle or even a fourth banana, depending if you're Brooklyn, because they could just accumulate every player known to man at this point. But like, teams like Portland always is like the hot button one, because that's Kevin's hometown team. Like, the third banana to CJ and Dame, like, I think he needs to showcase that he can do that and kind of generate some trade interest, because then he'll be on 2 years, I believe, 59 point something for the remainder of his contract, and that's a lot more palatable for a team to take on, and it's a lot easier for an opposing general manager to sell that to their owner if they say, like, okay, well, Kevin Love, yes, he was hurt, but it was a calf injury / Achilles injury, and you have to take that seriously, but he's able to stay healthy in the second half, and he's definitely tradable at this point. And I think that's when the Cavs start to approach to that, and I think they're just going to evaluate what they have with Kevin, and I just hope, knock on wood, that he doesn't get hurt again, and you just kind of move forward from there.
You alluded to this, but I just want to know your thoughts on this. Do you think he actually changes the shot profile? Do you have a take on that?
I think it does, because I think he's going to command more three-pointers, and I think he's going to make Cleveland look like a more efficient and modern offensive team, because we saw some dark play when Andre Drummond was demanding the ball in the low post, and I think it's just going to make the Cavs better overall, like in terms of three-point shooting. Like, Colin is attempting more threes. I have noted this in a few different places. We've talked about this. Like, he's attempting more three-pointers, and JB's making a concerted effort to make sure his younger guys take more threes. But having arguably the second best player, because I think Colin Sexton and maybe Jared Allen's the third best player for Kevin at that point, taking some threes as well is just going to do wonders for Cleveland offensively, and I think it's just going to change their shot profile to more of a modern and efficient offense that looks a little bit more palatable on a night-to-night basis to me.
Yeah, the Cavs are 30th in the league in three-point rate right now. They're close to half. They take close to half the amount of threes that the Utah Jazz do, and the Jazz lead the league at three-point rate. Like, there's just this massive gap between where Cleveland is and how they're playing.
And record-wise,
Kevin and Larry Nance, who will be back from injury soon as well, are two guys who will change that. Nance a little less so, obviously. He's pushed himself to like 3.6 per game, I think, this year, and that's like the max you're going to get him at. Kevin's going to launch 6, 7, 8, 9 in a game, and that's going to loosen things up and I think be a positive thing for the offense, because I don't think you can, again, the offense is bad, but I also just don't think you can sustain any kind of quality of play with this. And it's also like, if you look at how teams that play bad like kind of work this out, like Oklahoma City is another bad team. They're sixth or seventh in the league in three-point rate. Like, taking a lot of threes is also a way to just kind of like unintentionally, you know, be bad and get a high draft pick.
Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Are you locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at rockauto.com.
We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. And now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Evan, we have two matchups today. First up, you have Caramel Brownie going up against Cherry Barcia. The winner gets double chocolate. And you have Lemon Almond Cheesecake versus Carrot Cake with Walnuts. That the winner will get Coconut Brownie Chunk, which, I mean, might be the best flavor of the whole tournament. So, tough matchups for these ones here. Do you have any favorites of these four?
That is false, for emphasis. The best flavor is cookie dough, without a doubt in my mind. It is the best flavor, and they're the only protein bar to ever get that flavor right, because they are, quite literally are the best tasting protein bar ever. But a dark horse favorite for me might be Churro Crunch, and that is a soon-to-be-released flavor, but it could be really good. I don't know. I have high hopes for that one, too.
Yeah, of the ones in these matchups, though, Cherry Barcia for me. That's it for me.
That's a good pun.
It's just a good pun, you know. Get a little cherry flavor. The caramel brownie is good too. I'm more into the chocolatey ones than the, you know, like the other ones are good too. But I'm really into those ones. But if you want to try Built Bar, remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That is LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see you won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. To do that, go to BuiltBar.com or to Built_bar. That's Built_bar on Twitter.
Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs. How much do you really know about these potential NBA stars of tomorrow? If you want to know more, you need to subscribe. Let's do this again. Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs. How much do you really know about these potential NBA stars of tomorrow? If you want to know more, you need to subscribe to Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Prospect scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft anywhere you find your podcast, probably the same spot you find Locked On Cavs.
So, Evan, we have some quick breaking news here. According to Brian Windhorst from ESPN, the Cavs are planning to sign guard Quinn Cook to a 10-day contract. Shouts to friend of the program, Danny Cunningham, for tweeting our Fear the Sword, sending our message to our Fear the Sword Slack. Cue the coming home music for Quinn Cook. Obviously, he got his start with the Canton Charge, has won an NBA championship with the Los Angeles Lakers. Did he win? I think he won one with the Warriors as well. I think he won one with
Golden State as well.
Yeah, so I like the signing, Evan. We'll talk about the Sexton thing more, but I just want to say quickly that I like the signing. They need a backup point guard. Quinn Cook is a solid NBA player, nothing crazy, but I like the signing, and I think it's also a sign that, like, probably not seeing Dele anytime soon.
No, it's definitely a clear indicator that maybe Matthew Dellavedova, he might be better at this point. I know it was a concussion, and then it became a neck injury, and then he had an appendectomy as well. I should list that in my Forbes piece that I'm thinking out loud, but no, I think also Dele needs to play himself back into basketball shape, and he needs to figure things that out in that end as well. And, like, I don't know if you can reliably lean on him, but it's a 10-day deal. You take a stab at it, see if it works, then you let him sit with 10 for 10 days. The Cavs, I think, have quite a few games coming up. They play Friday against New Orleans, Sunday against Atlanta, and then the gauntlet begins. So I think the Cavs really need to address this backup guard spot. And I like Quinn Cook. He has familiarity with the organization through Canton. I know it's kind of a cliche, but he's a championship-winning guard as well, so he brings a little bit of that mentality to the locker room too, and I think that might be beneficial for these young players overall.
Cue up the puff piece about his championship experience a la Jordan Bell.
Yeah, no. Anyway, he's looking for some dogs.
All right, Colin Sexton. He's going to get a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of money. You and I are both pretty sure he's going to ask for a max, and I think we're both pretty sure that the Cavs would give him the max.
Yeah, I think we're both in agreement on that one. I think it's been reported at this point by a few outlets. I think Brian Windhorst is the biggest one. Shouts to Brian Windhorst getting two plugs on Locked On Cavs. Free publicity for Mr. Windhorst, but he doesn't need it. But that Sexton's going to ask for the
three. It might have been three, actually. I think we mentioned him in the Joe Tate part. I think it's three.
Well, Brian, welcome to Locked On Brian Windhorst with by your co-host Evan Damrow and Chris Manning. But either way, Collins, he reported it, and I think a few others have at this point, that Sexton is going to ask for the max, and the Cavs view Sexton as a max contract player, and they're going to offer it to him. Maybe it's going to get into a little bit of a tough negotiations because Kobe Altman is a frugal general manager. I give him credit for that. He's not just one who will just throw money at a player nonchalantly. Look at Jetty Osmond's contract and Larry Nance's contract for proof of this, but I think Sexton will get the max, and I think that creates an interesting dilemma for the Cavs. Because, Chris, do you feel like he's a max contract player? I don't know if I do still.
I don't. I let's say this carefully. I think Sexton will probably still get better.
You know our listeners very well by saying, let's say this carefully.
A max is a lot of money. It's just, it's a lot, man. Colin Sexton, like, is very good. I don't doubt at all that he's going to continue to get better, right? Like, I don't doubt that his trajectory is going to continue to go up, 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 up. I do not doubt that. I think it just makes it tricky to make, like, if that's going to be one of your pieces, and like if you're committing max money to that, and it's going to be, you know, like 5 years, and whatever the money is, you have to be like pretty sure that that is like something you can also like build a bunch of other stuff around and figure stuff out. Like it just becomes like really tricky to navigate that as you're kind of building out your cap. And yes, like more money is going to come out of the books. Kevin's contract will come out and stuff like that. But like there is just a lot of trickiness if you give him the money. Now, one of the things that I will say is I think there's a world where like sort of like how the Browns are waiting with Baker Mayfield. I wonder if there's a way where you could wait a little bit and take it a little longer, and then a year from now you can maybe negotiate. Then I don't think that sits well.
No, it doesn't.
That's the problem. That's the problem, because like he's gonna want the bag. He's gonna want the commitment this summer. I think he's earned it in a lot of ways. I wonder if there's a middle ground between Max and like not giving him a lot of money. Like I think there's probably some kind of middle ground there you could probably find, and that's probably the best case scenario for the Cavs. Colin should again get about as much money as he can. That's the whole bit here. He shouldn't worry about the team's cap sheet as much. The Cavs have marketed him like he's like their future superstar since the day he was drafted, and he should absolutely go use that in his negotiations. I would be a little hesitant to go full max, but he deserves a lot of money for what he's done so far, I think. And you're, again, this is a contract that is betting on his potential. But a full max is a little tricky. It's a little tricky for me.
This is the plight of a small market team. I don't really weep for millionaires, but it is the difference between being a New York team or LA or Miami.
Billionaires. In this case, billionaires.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, I use Sacramento and De'Aaron Fox as my example of this. Like, De'Aaron Fox, I don't know if he was worth that contract. I think he's proving it. The Kings were gambling on his potential, but also Fox had every right to ask for that kind of money from Sacramento, because no player is willingly going to Sacramento to play there in free agency, and they have to rely on their homegrown talent retaining them, so they have to kind of up the ante and foot the bill for this homegrown talent. And Colin is another example of this. Unless LeBron James happens to come back to town, or if another transcendental one of a kind player comes from Northeast Ohio and plays for the Cavaliers, like, no one's willingly coming to Cleveland unless like they're a cast off or a retread who's trying to get an opportunity, or they're a team player that's just kind of here to maximize their earnings somewhere else. But Colin's gonna approach them and say, listen, I have exceeded every expectation so far. I had all-star consideration at this point. I am the team's leading scorer. I'm arguably the team's best player. I'm a cultural leader. There's so many things working in Sexton's favor, and then he can just lay on the facts saying that, okay, if you don't want to sign me, I will go sign somewhere else, and I'll kill you every single time I play you. And then that's going to hurt the Cavs as well, because they're going to lose a talented piece that they truly believe in. Like you said, they have voted for him as player of the month every single time, and they've propped him up every step of the way, and they've really just gone on above and beyond to support him, which is a really nice thing to see an organization do. But at the same time, like, they got to put their money where their mouth is as well, and like say, okay, Colin, we're going to throw the max at you. And I just don't know if I feel if money wasn't an option and the Cavs didn't have to worry about their market insecurity and everything else, I wouldn't be too worried about throwing a max at Sexton. I think it's easier to negotiate. Let's say like the Cavs or the Knicks or another team that's in a major market, or a contending team like a San Antonio is always a good example, like a consistent organization like that. I don't know if Colin will get the max from them, but like for Cleveland, where they don't really have many options, they need to retain some of this talent that they've produced. They're going to have to throw the max at Colin and then hope that he has like a De'Aaron Fox type leap that he had after he signed his extension to Sacramento.
just as a reminder to people that these things, when you're rebuilding and you have guys get into the league, this stuff evolves really quickly. Colin Sexton is only in year three, but he comes eligible. Darius Garland, after his third season next year, will become extension eligible. Like, these things come up really, really quick, and your cap slowly just kind of withers away with your young talent. And you got to be, I think, pretty pragmatic about it if you're the Cavs. This will, I think, Evan, besides the draft, be the story of the summer.
That,
I really do.
Yeah, that and... if Kevin Love gets traded, that'll be a storyline, obviously. Yeah, I think that'll just be...
I think this would be one. Kevin Love would be three, and then the draft would be two. That's how I would rank them. Depending on if the pick is one, getting Cade, or if they prefer Mobley and they think he's that good, as some people I know do around the league, that's where things like are probably the most important. But Sexton's contract is absolutely right up there, I think.
Well, before we wrap this up, I'm gonna ask our listeners this. Please let me know on social media. Let us know anywhere at Locked On Cavs, at my Twitter handle at amnotevan. It's on the video right here. Cade Cunningham's really good. He is one of those transcendental players that the Cavs could really grow, and like, he could be the quote unquote guy for them.
And you, when you get a player like that, you get him under like very affordable numbers for like 5 years. Like he'd be like, get his number goes up quickly because he'd be a top pick, but it's like not like crazy money, and you can be like, oh, like it's much easier to like maybe overpay a little bit for guys or slot guys in around him until it comes time for his max deal if he earns it over the course of that rookie contract.
No, for sure.
Just worth considering.
No, for sure. And for maybe those who don't know, look up Cade Cunningham. We're running out of time, so I can't really wax poetic about Cade enough and how good he is. But my hypothetical...
We have an episode of Feed, Jackson knows, Frank.
Yeah, there we go. But my question for everyone is, would you trade Colin Sexton, and let's say the Cavs get the fourth or fifth pick for the first pick instead of Cade Cunningham? Because I don't think a team would willingly trade Cade, but I absolutely would do this trade. No doubt in my mind, and I wouldn't look back. Because I think Cade pairs well with both Sexton and Garland, but I don't... If you had to give up one of those two, I'd give up Sexton more because he's the more attractive bargaining chip right now.
It's going to be fascinating. It is absolutely going to be fascinating. But that's going to be it for today. Again, thanks for watching us in WKYC. Follow us on every podcast platform that you can. If you are specifically an Apple Podcast, want to go leave us a 5-star rating and review, please go do that. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with part two of this series. If you're watching on WQYC, again, you'll have to find that on a podcast platform of choice as a little tease for what's to come. We're going to talk about Darius Garland, Isaac Okoro's offense, and the Cavs' defense, and if it's actually good or not. So until then, this has been Chris Manning, Evan Damerl. Follow us on social. Talk to you soon. Locked On Cavs is your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast covering the latest news, rumors, and game action from the Wine and Gold.
You can follow us on social at Locked On Cavs or give us a call and leave a voicemail, and we'll answer your questions live at 440-673-3605.
If you want to contact the show, email us at lockedoncavs@gmail.com. And if you want to support the show, the best way to do that is by going to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It's produced and hosted by Chris Manning and Evan Damerl.